The six apparitions of Our Lady in Fatima, Portugal in 1917 to three young shepherd children radically changed and transformed not only the Catholic, but the entire world. But when you ask even the most devout Catholics, what is the message of Fatima? They'll tell you many things. They'll say that it's about Russia. It's about World War III. It's about the end of the world. It's about prayer and penance. It's about prophecies about the Pope. It's about the third secret of Fatima, all of which are themes that are specifically talked about in the things that Our Lady says. But if you take a deeper look at what was said at Fatima, a different message comes out that few people mention. And in fact, the word isn't even mentioned in any of the things that Our Lady says. And this is precisely revealed in the mysterious words of Our Lady in the first apparitions and words that she has to say about purgatory. We're going to talk about this and more in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, let's lay out a little bit of context to understand everything that was happening. Some years before, Pope Leo has a vision where God allows Satan to have 100 years of dominion. And because of this, we see all of these revolutions, the Bolshevik Revolution, atheistic revolutions, communism, all these incredible forces begin to take place throughout the world, leading through the middle of the 20th century with World War II, all the way to our time right now. In the midst of all this, in 1917, Our Lady goes to three shepherd children in this unknown village of Fatima and appears to them six times on the 13th of each month, revealing things to them that they didn't even understand. In fact, when interviewed later, the shepherd children didn't even know what Russia was or what the errors were. They thought it was some lady. They had no idea what even Our Lady was telling them. They were prepared some years before by apparitions of an angel, then she appears and all these incredible apocalyptic things happen, including visions that we're not even made aware of until much, much later. All this culminates in many ways with the pontificate of Pope John Paul II, who many call the Fatima Pope, who on May 13th, 1981, he was shot and nearly killed, fulfilling one of the visions had by the children. All of these things seem to take place to make a call to the world to convert, to prevent World War II, which ends up happening anyway, where millions of people die. But then these things are finally fulfilled with JP2, who consecrates the world to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And then we see the beginnings of something of what we have right now, which is peace. Now, Fatima, for many Catholics, especially in the last 20 to 30 years, has been instrumental in converting them and in bringing about a love for the rosary, a love for Our Lady. For me, she was the way that I understood her when I first had my conversion. I've been to Fatima like 6 to 7 times. The entire story is when I read it, I get this feeling that just brings chills to my heart. I have this incredible statue right here, which was when I went to Fatima, the absolute most beautiful statue that I had found. And I said, that's the one that I'm bringing. And this is actually the authentic depiction of her apparitions. I'll show you some footage kind of throughout the video so you can see what did the three children really see. Now, this brings us to the first apparition on May 13th and several questions that are asked where this incredible revelation about purgatory is made. Now, let me read it to you. In the context of Our Lady telling them that she came from heaven and she wants to bring them from heaven. First will be some of them, and then later on will be Lucia. They start asking about different children who have already died. So they ask Maria de las Nieves, is she in heaven? And she says, yes. At that time, that little girl was about 16 when she had died. And then they ask Anna Amelia. She says she will be in purgatory until the end of the world. And they think that she was between 18 and 20 years old when she died. Those words reveal the true message of Fatima, but it has to be interpreted correctly. Now, when you see other videos about this particular statement, what do most people say? They make the theme about God's justice. Some maybe exaggerate and say that God is just bloodthirsty and wanting us to be in purgatory for as long as possible. And others essentially state it as this kind of eternal decree that yes, she's going to be there for a long time, so we should avoid mortal sin. All of these things are in some ways true. But in a recent visit to Fatima, I had a chance to speak with a modern purgatory mystic and friend, Aidan Bond. I had an incredible interview with him some years ago. I'm going to have that linked at the end of this video. And I asked him, what do you think about this? What does this mean? And he took it to prayer. And the next day he said, Alvaro, what this means is that at the moment when they were asking about Amelia, Amelia's parents were not, in fact, praying for her soul. Therefore, at that current state, Amelia was condemned to purgatory until the end of the world. However, it was a call to conversion for them to, in fact, pray for her so that she could be released earlier. And when he said this, I thought, this is ingenious. That's absolutely correct, because you see dozens of cases, maybe even hundreds of cases of apparitions where souls in purgatory will come to people and say, this is my sentence. I'm going to be here for 300 years. I'm going to be here for until the end of time and all types of other things, but we can mitigate it through our prayer, revealing therefore the true message of Fatima, which is this. It's the Greek word dunamis. When Jesus says, you will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, that word is related to the word dynamic in English, and it means power. Fatima is not about the third secret. Fatima is not about the Pope. Fatima is not about prayer and penance. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about world. It's not about any of those things. It's essential message, and the lens through which I want you to see it is about power. Now, if you think about it and you use that lens to understand everything that is happening, what is it? Satan was granted 100 years of extra power, and then he gave power to people of evil who then take that and run rampant throughout the world, changing everything for the worse. And Our Lady comes to reveal to these three powerless children that they and we, in fact, have the power to change history, and we even have the power to change the decrees of God's justice on those condemned to purgatory. Now, when I was praying about this a few days ago, and this became so unbelievably clear to me, it was personal, because I have a 4- and a 6-year-old. And whenever I've asked them to pray over time, what they have started telling me is this. They say, Daddy, prayer doesn't work. God doesn't listen, because when we pray, nothing happens. So we don't know if prayer is real. And sometimes we don't even know if Jesus is real, because he doesn't listen to what we say. Now, this is coming from a 4- and 6-year-old. And my wife and I give them an example of faith. And what you see in their little minds, which I would never have even made that observation that they make, they're simply observing what they're seeing until I was like 15 or so, and they're able to say this at 4 and 6. They are speaking the seeds of what was planted already in the hearts of all those men that led revolutions. Now, when you look at anyone that leads an atheistic revolution or the communistic revolution, when you really read their lives and understand what they experienced, that's what it was. They oftentimes were raised Catholic, prayed, and God didn't answer. So in them seeing the inability of prayer to have power and the inability of God to have power to change things for the better, they said, to heck with all that. We're going to exercise real power and lead these revolutions and change the world the way we see fit. My wife has also had this struggle. There was a time when one of her most beloved grandfathers, the one that was the most faithful, and she prayed and prayed and prayed. And guess what? Nothing seemed to happen. He died anyway. And from that moment till many years later, she was essentially agnostic, believing God exists, but he has no power to affect change in the world. My experience was radically different. See, I had an uncle who, despite the fact that he left the Catholic faith and became part of another religion, would tell me about the power of prayer, that the rosary has power, because he saw that I was Catholic. So he said, look, all these things, prayer has the power to completely transform the world. So there was times when I was sick, when I was younger, I had this other thing, and I prayed and things would change. And then my parents would reinforce that belief that prayer has power. And they would say, Alvaro, God listens to your prayers. Pray, and these things happening to you, they will change. And one time I had like a lot of acne on my face, and I prayed because they told me, and guess what? The acne left that following summer. And so I have had implanted in my own heart the truth and the reality that prayer has power. In fact, it's one of the most fundamental beliefs that's in me. And the children of Fatima believed it too. However, most of us never experience the full power of prayer because we don't understand the truth of Trinities. Now, I've tried to explain this to you in different videos, that the physical world mirrors the spiritual world and vice versa, and that the whole order of creation is founded upon Trinities. And when you have a Trinity present, power is completely unlocked. When you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God is there. When you have faith, hope, and love, sanctity is there. When you have red, green, and blue, we see light emerge. When you have hydrogen, and oxygen, water comes out. That when these three things are present, power emerges. And it's the same thing with prayer. So now I want to reveal to you two things that will help you to unlock the power of prayer so that the message of Fatima that can become true in your own life. Now, the Trinity that has to be affected for prayer to be most powerful is what Jesus himself reveals: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Now, when you do any of these on their own, they will affect change in the world. When you pray alone, when you fast alone, when you give alms alone, you will change things. Inevitably, you will see things happen. But when you put these three things together, it's like an atomic bomb will explode, and you will see exponential power come out of the things that you do. The children of Fatima believed this and did this. They would pray for hours. They would fast and give up their lunches, and then they would give their lunches either to the poor or even to animals. So apparently, even charity to animals, God will accept that as a type of almsgiving. These three things must be present for prayer to see its greatest power. Now that prayer has power, the saints have given us witness to that hundreds of times. Some of my favorite are the power to change the weather. We see this in this incredible story with Saint Benedict and Saint Scholastica. Saint Scholastica was going to die a few days later, and she had a premonition about this. So she went to go visit Saint Benedict and his monastery, and they had a rule that after a certain time, women had to leave, even though she was the head monk's sister, and she did not want to leave. And Saint Benedict was saying, you need to go home because curfew. So please, for the sake of propriety and modesty, you need to go back to your convent. So she refused. And so what she did is she actually placed her head on the table, and he said, oh no, what are you doing? He knew that she was praying. He knew that she was up to no good. She was going to bend the forces of nature so that God would allow her to stay there. So she prayed intensely, and suddenly an incredible and violent storm came up and poured so much rain that she was unable to leave. And then they were able to have conversations far into the night. And then a few days later, when she went back to her convent, she actually died. So she was able even to change whatever happened to be God's will at the moment. She was able to bend it to whatever she wanted. This is the same when we pray for the souls in purgatory. Despite the fact that God's will has decreed a certain sentence upon a soul, we can change that through the power of prayer. We can change the weather. We can change sickness into health. To prove to you that I'm right, even in today's readings, did you hear it? Let me read it to you if you didn't. We can even cause earthquakes to happen. So Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, and then it reads as follows. About midnight, while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God as the prisoners listened, there was suddenly such a severe earthquake that the foundations of the jail shook. All the doors flew open, and the chains of all were pulled loose. If prayer can break open prisoners from prison, prayer can release all the souls from purgatory right now. However, the problem is, like my daughters, most Catholics have a very one-dimensional way of seeing prayer. This is how we typically see it. We see it a little bit like a vending machine, that if we stick in one coin, we will get something that will come out. Or we see it a little bit like nagging, that God thinks otherwise, and then we have to, through repeated prayer, convince him. And then finally, when we convince him, he's going to change his mind and give us a thing that we're asking for. We see it something like this. However, I'm going to give you right now a metaphor for prayer that will radically transform how you see prayer for the rest of your life. You see, again, using that idea that the physical world mirrors what happens in the spiritual world, prayer is like building. Imagine if you were to go build a building, and you were to place one brick And then you were to tell the builders, where's the building? Why isn't it here? Why hasn't it happened? I don't see a building yet. They would laugh their heads off and think, you're nuts. You don't get it. You got to put like 3,000 bricks to make a building. Don't you understand? It takes time. Some buildings takes days, some months, some even centuries, such as the cathedral that's being dedicated of Sagrada Familia there in Barcelona. That's taken like over a century to build. So building is a process of repeated actions that eventually produce the desired effect. Prayer is exactly the same way. When you are repeating your prayers and saying the rosary, you're not trying to convince a stubborn God to finally change his mind. You're not sticking in coins, hoping that one of them will pop out a candy. You are building something that once everything is fashioned together and once sufficient amount of bricks are placed together and stuck together and the process is finished, you get a desired fruit. In fact, my daughter and my children experienced this recently. This last Friday, we were celebrating my daughter's birthday, which is on May 23rd. Say a little prayer for her. And so we decided to have a birthday party earlier. Well, about a week before, the forecast said it's going to rain. So what did they do? They said, nope, we're going to pray. And what did my daughter say? They said the same thing they've been saying recently. Prayer doesn't work, Daddy. Jesus isn't listening. And my wife wisely said, let's see. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And guess what? Every single day, the forecast kept changing. And that day, not only was there no rain, but it was overcast, so not as much sun. So it was really nice weather. And the rain, in fact, was pushed to later in the afternoon. In fact, the sun came out in the middle of their play date. Now, when we got back home that evening, torrential storms came down. It was incredible. We saw right in front of us the fruit of our prayer, that we, through the power of our prayer, had built a building that had pushed the storms to the later part of the day so that we could celebrate happily with my daughter. We changed the weather through our prayer. Through your prayer, you can change the weather. You can create earthquakes. You can raise the dead. You can heal people. You can convert hearts. You can convert the world. It's not AI that has power. It's not the Illuminati that has power. It's not Satanists that know everything I'm telling you right now, by the way, that have power. It's we who have power right now. But to quote an upcoming movie of a cartoon that I used to watch when I was a kid, Masters of the Universe. I have the power! Nope, he doesn't have the power. We have the power. But you know the problem? Skeletor rightly states it. Listen to what he says.
You may have the power, but you're too scared to use it.
We're too afraid to use it. So the reason why change isn't happening out there in the world is because the church and we have forgotten the incredible power that we have right here and in our hands. And Our Lady of Fatima came not just to tell us about these things that have already passed, for instance, World War II, but she came to convince us that we have power through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to radically change the world. Not presidents, not AI, not the mafia, not the hidden New World Order. We are the ones who really have power to change the world because God freely grants us that power through faith, and we are therefore responsible to use it. My friends, if you only understood the true message of Fatima, the world would be radically changed. Before you go, I want you to support one of the sponsors of this channel, the Rosary Experience app for iOS or Android. It will help you pray the rosary better. Go and check it out. Description down below. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. If this has helped you in any way, please like and subscribe. Go and pray. Happy Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. I'll see you in the next one.